the Dog Depth Podcast, your go-to place in the modern and legacy format. I'm one of your hosts, Billy Mitchell, and with me, the unbroken one himself, Michael Mapson. How are you?
You know, I am okay, I guess. I don't know. I may not be as unbroken as you might think.
Are you truly broken on the inside?
It was a long day at work. I had somebody who, so for those who don't know, I'm a banker, and I had a business account opening today that took over 3 hours, which bank or business accounts do take longer than personal accounts. They do not take 3 hours.
No, they can't.
Yeah. Generally, I block off an hour and a half in my calendar for them. So the fact that I'm saying, I've never had an issue with that hour and a half window. So when I'm saying this took over 3 hours, that should tell you how draining it was. And this was off the heels of a personal account opening that took about an hour and 40 minutes. Which, if you can guess from me saying I block off an hour and a half for business accounts, that's also way too long.
Yeah.
So, it was it's just a long day.
Yeah, that sounds like, that sucks. But you're here with us now, so that's better.
Yeah, and then later I get to go get pancakes, so that's cool. Ooh. Love pancakes.
Is this like an IHOP special here?
It is. I will be returning to the IHOP.
Ooh, okay. So is it like, are they giving you like more like sweet coins and stuff like that? I don't know what the deal with them has been.
I don't know, man. I was just told to come to IHOP. I was told I didn't have to pay for my pancakes, and I like pancakes. You know, I would pay for pancakes. So to eat them for free, that's a delight.
You know? That's value. Yeah. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, I am jealous of your ability to have pancakes. I would like them myself.
You can also have pancakes. You have to buy them.
No. My family would like ask for pancakes themselves, and I don't have any for them, so it's all right. Maybe another time. But I know we have probably a busy week to go through here, so let's try to, I guess, I don't even know where we want to start. Oh, you know where I want to start? While you're getting IHOP being comfortable and full, I want to make sure that our listeners know that we actually have our Bonfire store up. We finally got that launched. It was literally a matter of pressing, like, 3 buttons, but we had a discussion about it a while ago and never got back to it. So there is a link. We'll put it in the show notes as well. But if you go on Twitter, you should see a link to our Bonfire. If you want to get a t-shirt or a hoodie to support the show, it's like $24 for a shirt, $34 for a hoodie. Check it out. I'm gonna pick one up, obviously. Hopefully Mapson does too, and you'll see us at events being nice, comfortable, and snug. It'll be super sweet.
Yeah, I might get one. We'll see.
What? Come on! That's our podcast order. You have to get one.
Do I have to? I mean, I might be rocking an IHOP shirt, you know?
Jeez. Okay. Well, IHOP is a nationally recognized brand. I mean, we're international, but I guess so is the International House of Pancakes, so I get that. Oh, man. Well, okay. Well, anyways, yeah, definitely get a shirt. Pick them up. They come in cool colors. I picked them out myself, so you know they're good. And, yeah, support the show.
I could have done better.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but you didn't want to do it, so I did it. Next time you can pick the shirt. Next time we do a campaign, you can pick the shirts and the colors and the designs and stuff like that. I also want to make sure, just a shout-out, I went to an event this last weekend at Cloud City. I believe it's Cloud City Games. Great store. It was a CEDH event, and it was kind of, I guess, I don't know if they sponsored by, but, like, endorsed by the guys from Play to Win. Cam, Dylan, and Tyler, all great. I've actually met them a couple times online. I've never met them in person. Well, no, that's not true at all. I've met Tyler a couple times. I've met Cam a bunch. I don't think I've actually met Dylan, but they were all really cool. So if you like EDH in general, just check out their stuff. They are starting to branch into like legacy and modern, 60 card formats as well. So definitely check them out. They're cool guys and do a cool product. So definitely shout out to them. Which makes me think, I feel like you and I should, have like the Dark Depth like legacy series or something like that. That seems like a sweet thing to do.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that on air.
Probably not. But you gotta put it in people's brain holes. They gotta know. They gotta know maybe one day.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, that's right. Alright, well, let's see. All right, where should we start? Let's start talking about the big announcement. This was actually a really nice, relaxing weekend because, I know there was like a Modern Showcase challenge and I was like, who cares? It doesn't really matter because there's a banner restricted announcement on Monday. I don't need to worry about what happened in the new deck the weekend because it's going to be a new format after the weekend anyways. So let's talk about that banner restricted announcement. What you got?
No changes. Which I know people are mad about, I actually think is correct after this weekend.
So what changed between like over the last week that you feel like this is like a good thing for both Modern and Legacy? I think we discussed last week Legacy was fine anyways, but Modern was the one we were discussing maybe there should be some shakeups.
Yeah, so I think I kind of expressed that I was kind of like, I could take or leave a ban in Modern. Scam is no fun to play against, and I still think that's true, but I ran an RCQ this weekend. We had a lovely 61 players, and okay. I got to watch Up the Beanstalk just, like, go nuts, and I think that's the kind of deck that, like, it just generates so much value and is, like, actually very good against Scam. I've heard people talk about, like, bringing in Leyline of the Void against Scam, and that's always sounded, like, not good to me. And I got to watch Scam just, like, get wrecked over and over by Leyline of Sanctity, which somehow, never crossed my mind. I got to see Scam kind of get put in its place. Maybe I shouldn't say that, because Scam was still one of the two decks that walked away with the invite. And also, it's just, like, one event, and it's just, like, a local RCQ. So even though we do have very good players there, you can only derive so much information from it. But I just, it feels like there are answers to Scam, and I'd like to see how the format adjusts to Up the Beanstalk being in the format before taking any kind of action.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. Obviously, I did not judge an RCQ or anything like that, but... I think there was a lot of things going on with the events this weekend where I'm watching people play, in Portland, I'm watching people play on MTGO, and I'm seeing a lot of things that I guess I'm more interested in trying to see how the format does adjust. The Beanstalk decks, I think, are definitely new enough where we're not exactly sure how that play pattern works in long term, like what effect does that have, if we're all willing to be playing this, Cascade, thanks Aspiring Spike for this monstrosity that is now in the format, but if we're talking about this deck that's playing all these Cascade spells into the Beanstalk so they can cast more free spells, and whether that's like Soul Spike or whatnot, right, like it's actually really interesting because now we're in a position where cards like Void Mirror make a lot more sense. Cards like Lavinia make a lot more sense. And now, this is a new format that we can actually try to potentially exploit with other strategies that we haven't seen before in Modern. So I think we do need a little bit of time to see where we kind of go from here. It could be a matter of maybe this does bring back a more fair type of deck. Like, maybe we do start to see, those Lavinias, we see those Gaddock Teagues starting to pop back up, and I don't know. I definitely think that it is probably nice to have the format allowed to develop a little bit more before we start axing things.
Yeah. I actually had Lavinia cast against me yesterday. It was decidedly fine. Have you played much with or against the turbo of the Beanstalk deck?
I have not. I've been kind of veering my attention back to Legacy at the moment. So I've been playing a lot of blue-black scan mirrors, but not too much modern right now. I definitely need to try to jump back in that this week. The league's just like filled with Beanstalk decks at this point.
I've not actually played any modern leagues in a bit. I've been playing, like I played locally yesterday. I judged the RCQ on Saturday, like I was saying. So I just got to watch a bunch of it on Saturday. And man, that deck looked sick. It looked so fun. That being said, it was also kind of like, kind of awkward that, yes, so you're very good at putting in Beanstalks, but Shardless Agent is just, like, not a scary card. So, like, in the matchups where it looked good, it looked great. Like, I would just walk by tables and somebody would have three up the Beanstalks in play. They'd be like, Fury, kill your board, draw three cards. And I was like, man, that seems dirty. But yeah. Then if the board state was ever, like, at anything resembling parity, it was just like, okay, well, you have a couple 2/2s, and they have actual creatures. So that didn't line up great. But in general, it looked very good. Like, going down, you know, the one thing holding the elementals back has been going down a card, which I think we all understand at this point isn't the largest cost, but it is a cost. But when it's like, hey, I'm going to do this thing, and I'm actually going to go up a card as a result, it was pretty gross. So I was really enjoying watching those decks play all weekend. And like I said, Leyline of Sanctity out of them looked super impressive. I think more decks should be doing that. I also, like, I played one of the Bring to Light builds. I copied Spider Space came in somewhere in the top 64 of the Showcase Challenge, playing a BTL list with Dryads and Scapeshift, and I really liked that, because you still got to play up the Beanstalk stuff, but slow it down, so in the mirror, you are, in theory, favored, because, like, you're both doing this back and forth, drawn cards, tracking for position, except you have a card that just goes, oh, and I won the game. It's done now. And I do like that much more than Emrakul, which I know a lot of people are playing, just because you can't necessarily find Emrakul, whereas I got to play, in a sense, four copies of Scapeshift.
So when you say Emrakul, are you talking about the Promised End, or are we talking Aeon's Torn?
Yeah, Promised End. God, could you imagine if people were just, like, out here just straight up, yep, I have 15 mana, time to cast Emrakul in my fair deck.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only reason I would even consider that as a possibility is just because, like, I've seen the Beanstalk decks, like, mill themselves very constantly. Not very constantly, but, you know, if I'm watching leagues, it probably happens once every, you know, two or three leagues where I see somebody and I'm like, oh, they're gonna deck, aren't they? And I'm like, four cards. Ah, so close. So I think it would be funny to have something like that that's just shuffled back in. Ideally, something that's castable, but having something that at least shuffles your graveyard back in would not be the worst thing.
So, along those lines, I did something I was not expecting to do this weekend. I issued multiple, I'm talking, I think it was four, might have been, yeah, four okay. copies of Nexus of Fate. To different players. Plus another one just checked to make sure their foils were straight enough.
Okay.
So people are playing that in their sideboard to stop from decking. Because late game, you don't cast it. You just exile it. It shuffles back. You don't exile it. You discard it. It goes to your graveyard. Shuffles back in. If you draw it in the mid game, you can cast it. Draw an extra card. Which means your 7 mana extra turn spell is now not bad.
So, not bad. Okay.
So yeah, I think that's a much better answer than an Emrakul. The other answer is you can just play Endurance.
Yeah, you could play. I think that endurance is the one that makes the most sense, right? Being able to shuffle your graveyard back in and get the things back. I was actually thinking it would be very interesting to be playing. What's that card called? The green white spell, Son of Wheel and Moon.
Okay.
So that way you could just like, if you had a good number of cards, you could like just start like cycling through like Solitudes and Furies and stuff like that. I think that'd be funny kind of in the later game.
So I will say the one issue with both Endurance and Wheel of Sun and Moon is you're shuffling a lot of lands back into your deck, which means you're going to have a lot of dead draws. Also, Wheel of Sun and Moon in particular means you can't play Ren and Six, which, don't get me wrong, the Turbo Up, the Beanstalk list aren't playing Ren and Six anyways. But if, you know, people who are on the slower, more mid-rangey builds, that is certainly a cost.
Yeah, I mean, like, the one upside I'm going to say, though, is, like, it is... Wheel of Sun and Moon is very annoying versus Murktide, and it's also very annoying versus Scam. So I think it's give and take there, and I think if you are on the faster version, it's kind of free. And actually, it's kind of sweet if you are... Because it's a 2-drop, so, like, it'd be really sweet to be able to cascade into... a removal, not a removal spell, but like a hate piece versus those decks.
Yeah. God, those lists look so cool. And, you know, I think when we talk about the Cascade Beans decks, most people's minds, including my own, go to kind of the version that Aspiring Spike has been playing. Dak Faden has been playing a very similar version as well. But I do want to call out that... Tristan Wildaroo, who's a great player, number of accolades over the past few years, also like top aided the Showcase Challenge this weekend, playing a version of the deck that was definitely a little bit different. Like, he was actually playing Omnath in his 4-drop slot, which is just, no matter how you slice it, is a better creature than Bloodbraid Elf. Although watching people go Bloodbraid Elf, Trigger Cascade, Shardless Agent, Trigger Cascade, Beanstalk, it's really gross. But Omnath is very good. He also was playing Eagles of the North, which is only the second time I've ever seen it in a decklist. So that is the white version of like Oliphant, Generous Ant, Troll of Khazad Dûm, that cycle. He's playing Common Ears and Murderous Cut main deck. I really like the way this list looks. It's doing a lot of very powerful stuff. I mean, all up, the Beanstalk decks are doing something very powerful. But he still has, you know, his Ardent Pleas and Shardless Agents. And with Ardent Plea, yes, the card is not as powerful as... why am I blanking? As
Violent Outburst or...
Bloodbraid Elf.
Bloodbraid Elf, yeah.
But you do get to play it a turn sooner, so that's actually pretty nice. And he is on 3 Time Warps, which is sick with Up the Beanstalk. So I will say, Tristan often plays kind of... They're not super out there, but he usually has like a few interesting takes on like very well-established, very good decks. Like, I know he had definitely his own version of Living End, and like he's got his own version of Green-White Depths, and... But he is very good, and if he's doing stuff, there is a reason behind it. So certainly worth taking a look at his list. That's a little bit different than what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, I like the idea of being in a place where you are playing Teferi. I think if we're cascading a bunch, just playing Teferi is really good. And also, like, this is the same thing as before. Like, the Teferi interaction with... the Scam cards in general, I think, is actually pretty decent, right? Because you can't do the evoke and then, you know, not dead after all, whatever. The only exception with that would be Fury, right? Like, because you can obviously just kill Teferi, and then you can go ahead and, you know, cast your spell or whatever. But, you know, if it's at 5, you can't do that necessarily. And obviously it starts at 4, so going up to 5 is not ridiculous. But, like, I think Teferi is a really interesting place to be if you can afford it. And obviously, I think having Ardent Plea makes a lot more sense in this list. Obviously, you're playing Solitude as a white spell, but you also do have your Commandeers as well. And trying to exile 2 blue cards is difficult at times. So having something that you can you're more than willing to pitch to, you know, a Solitude or Commandeer or Force of Negation that also does go get your Beanstalks as well. I think it's a really nice tie-in for this deck. Also, I swear, if I ever get set adrift, I'm going to just be furious. I just, like, that's one of those cards that, like, I've seen it a number of times, like, going through bulk, and it's like, gosh, that feels brutal. And then I keep going past it. But every time I see it, I'm like, not, please don't do that to me.
I feel like that card saw a play in Legacy for a small period of time.
I think it was a sideboard card for, like, ninjas or something like that. I don't think it's a very popular card, obviously. Like, I think the fact that it gets around, like, things like counterbalance, I think it is a meaningful thing. But, like, not very rarely does this card, like, something I'm like, oh, I'm 100% put a Thetadrift in my sideboard. Got him. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think a lot of times when you're playing this kind of effect, you're more interested in something like a... What's your favorite card that costs... It's free if you have a forest.
Submerge.
Submerge, yes. I know that's your favorite card. So that's another one that I think is more common.
I really don't hate Submerge as much as people would probably think. Also, like, when you compare how I feel about Submerge to how I feel about Brazen Borrower, it's probably weird that I hate Brazen Borrower so much. But yeah, I don't know. Submerge is fine. You can play around it. You don't need forest.
That's true. While we're looking at the Trugus challenge, by the way, did you look at True Heroes list?
He's been on that deck for a while. I tried playing it. It went not well for me. Every so often I see other people talking about it and I kind of want to try it again. But I also am just like, it went so poorly. I like don't want to waste my time.
Sure. So for people at home, it's like a Goryeo's Vengeance list. It's on Goldfish is listed as Goryeo Through the Breach, but there's two Through the Breaches in the board, so I'm not going to call it that. I think just Goryeo's is fine, but, you know, you got the Goryeo's Vengeance, you've got, like, ways to put in the graveyard with, like, Tainted Indulgence and Shadow Prophecy. You also have, like, Palantir of Orthanc, which I can't pronounce this, the 3-mana artifact from the Lord of the Rings set. So you've got like all these different effects, hoping to put out an Atraxa or a Gristlebrand, and before you have to remove it from the game, from the Vengeance, you can use Ephemerate to blink it. And so you're also kind of playing the game of Grief Ephemerate as well, which we've seen the black-white kind of decks before, so it's kind of interesting to see that card pop up again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I can get behind this deck. There's a lot of smart decision making that went into building it. Like, when you talk to me about it, a lot of things kind of make sense. Like, getting to play Fable of the Mirror Breaker as your discard enabler, where it's like actually a good card. Getting to do, like, the Grief, Solitude, Ephemerate stuff is obviously really powerful. I don't know. Just whenever I play it, though, it just feels like a random pile of cards. And maybe I just wasn't mulliganing aggressively enough, or maybe I was mulliganing too aggressively. I don't know. But it doesn't feel like there is enough of a cohesive game plan. And I also just, like, have a very hard time wanting to be so reliant on the graveyard when, like, one of the best decks is just main decking Dothy Voidwalkers. And, like, yeah, you have your Solitudes, you can answer it. Sometimes you get to grief them first, but I don't know. They have those cards right back, and those cards seem really good against you, so.
Yeah, I think relying on Solitude and Leyline Binding to clean up your messes is, like, not embarrassing, obviously. Like, you do have 8 effects there, but, like, it is tough. Like, that is not a thing you can really rely on. I guess, also, I've got, like, I'm all over the place today. So I'm gonna, just for our listeners, for everybody, I am just, like, doing a bunch of stuff here. I've got a lot of questions, a lot of cool things going on here. Can we also talk about TSP Gendrix deck? It's just blue white control, but it's, once again, I think with this the current format, it's a really interesting. Is in a really interesting spot because this is a list that's playing three copies of Teferi, which is a card I talked about a little bit ago, but also playing three copies of Narset, which I think in this metagame is actually really nice too, because if the goal is to go crazy with Beanstalks, just, you know, being like, Narset, no, is a really good solution there.
Yeah, I think Narset makes a lot of sense for exactly the reason you just said. I have very mixed thoughts on playing Daze and doing with it. Obviously, it's very powerful when it works, but I hate just having such a dead card in my deck. But I guess when you have like the card draw element of the One Ring, you can kind of get away with a little bit more. And at worst, it's a blue card to pitch to force a negation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a silver lining for sure. It is. This is one of those decks that like I keep running into leagues, and I win most of them, I lose a number of them, but it is doing enough things where I think this should be good that I figure that like I'm going to lose these games because they've drawn six cards with the One Ring, and then oh gosh, they have their Manamo to untap the One Ring and draw another five cards, and I'm just like way behind at this point. It is so light on win conditions, though, that, like, the number of games I've kind of, like, squeaked out because they just, like, can't kill me in time is definitely non-zero. I don't know if that's an issue you see with the deck.
It is. And I don't know. I've got a weird thing with blue-white control, and I have not really played with it in Modern, but I feel like whenever I play against it, I am underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But whenever I see somebody streaming it or I watch somebody playing it, it always looks really good. So I don't know if it's just like a coincidence, if like, you know, maybe if I got more games in, things would balance out. I'm not sure what the story there is. I do need to play with it at some point. Like, it does do a lot of powerful things. But like you said, it doesn't close out games. And I think that's a problem in a format that's so powerful.
Yeah, I got the privilege of having my Crushing Footfalls reprieved multiple times, and I still won like pretty easily, just because like they didn't do anything, like nothing happened. Like I was able to have it come off suspend naturally, get reprieved, and then cast it again, like suspend it again, and it came off suspend a second time, and I still won the game. Because, you know, over the course of nine turns, they didn't do anything, which is, you know, I think problematic. I don't think you can realistically win games like that, but, you know, once again, the One Ring does bail you out of a lot of situations, and especially on Modo, there are a number of people who are like, I'm dead, this is awful, I'm done, and, like, we'll just concede games that they're not actually dead in. But, I don't know. I like the idea of this deck, though. I like the combination of Narset and Teferi. And the One Ring, obviously, is never a bad place to be, but I really wish this had a better win con than a Solitude Beatdown.
Can I interest you in playing Eagles of the North?
I mean, you know what? Eagles of the North actually does attack, right? And, like, attacks well. It has evasion, so maybe that would be fine. I mean, like, even, like Eternal Dragon I'd be fine with. Is that the one I'm thinking of, Eternal Dragon? The one that murders me with a...
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I've died to Eternal... No, gosh, what's the... Okay, so there's the one that has Cycling, and there's the one that has Plain Cycling.
Eternal and Timeless.
Timeless, yes. Yeah, so Timeless Dragon is the one that has murdered me, that I mean. That's the one I think in Modern, obviously, because that one's legal, that we can play. I do love me an Eternal Dragon, though. That is a throwback to those who love Scourge. Sweet card.
Okay. So we should probably get to talk about Legacies as well. But before we move on from here, SCG Pittsburgh is tomorrow. You're playing the Modern 10K. What are you registering?
I'm kind of locked into playing Murktide. It is apparently a good choice. I last time I played it, I got like just bodied by numerous copies of Orcish Bowmaster, so I'm kind of like still a little bit sour there, but I feel like that's not a terrible choice. I think I have gotten enough reps in with Crashing Footfalls. I think that wouldn't be awful either. So maybe I would lean that direction. But I do feel like everyone's doing the Beanstalk stuff right now. I expect that to be a very popular deck just because I think it's very fun. But also, like, the fact you get to do so many powerful things, this is, like, I think a very common trend that, you know, because we're seeing it on streams a lot, people want to play it a little bit more. So I expect that to be another, high flyer, as it were, in terms of people playing it. I think making sure you have a plan for that, I think, would be really solid. I could be wrong. I've got a secret dark horse in, I think Burn actually might be decent. I don't know what their plan is versus the Burn decks, but
I don't know if that's a dark horse if you look at, like, how many Burn decks there were in the Showcase Challenge. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's not like it was every other deck, but there was definitely a fair number. And, I mean, I think you're right that Burn is really good against, like, the slow, the Beanstalk-type decks.
Yeah, especially post-board when you get to, board in your... I'm trying to think what that card's actually called. The one that you can pay. You are so good. Yeah, Roiling Vortex.
They play two main now, I think.
Some versions play two. And, like, they're definitely playing Skullcracks in the main as well. So, like, there's definitely a lot of hate for, you know, people trying to go over the top with the Omnath and stuff like that. So you are really set up to win. This actually... The one from the Showcase Challenge, actually, by Elk Vinci, was actually playing four copies in the main deck, which I think feels ridiculous, but then you're like, you're going to keep trying to cast free spells? Nah, you can take five. Like, that seems like a really good place to be, not letting people just cycle Fury and Solitudes for, you know, no punishment. Like, you are going to take damage every time you try that.
So... as for me, I think I would run back the Up the Beanstalk BTL Scapeshift deck.
Okay.
I'm just going to blindly put my faith in Spider Space, and then if it doesn't work out, I'm going to yell at him next time I see him and be like, you lied to me, even though he didn't actually tell me to play the deck. But I like it in theory. I know he didn't have a great... Well, I think he only played against Scam once, and I know he lost to it. I think I might try to adjust the way the deck was built to better combat Scam, which might be as lazy as just putting four Leyline of Sanctity in the sideboard.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, that deck was fun, and I think in a world where everyone else is playing Up the Beanstalk, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
And then in the 5K, I'm just incinerating tickets and brewing up something with Agatha's Soul Cauldron and Jeskai Breach and putting Goblin Engineers in there and Ronas and Emrys and just having the time of my life and just lighting $35 or whatever on fire.
You know what? It's reasonable. I don't blame you. It sounds fun, at least. Oh, man. Okay. You want to talk Legacy? Let's talk Legacy. We do have the Legacy Showcase Challenges on Sunday. Are you going to be playing in it?
So, I was planning to, and then I remembered that both of us, so I'm reminding you, have a party that we are going to on Sunday.
Oh, God. what party is this? Is this something, do I need a gift? Am I wearing a suit? What's happening here? I don't remember. Is this Friendsgiving, or what is this? I don't know.
No, I'm not invited to your Friendsgiving.
God. Okay.
We can talk later. But
okay, yeah. Now I'm, oh gosh,
but
I have not planned for this.
We have a birthday / housewarming party to go to.
Okay, cool. So I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for inviting me, whoever invited me. It's going to be a lovely time. You have a lovely home.
It's going to be like really awkward when we get off. I'm like, oh, you weren't invited. It was that other Billy.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid it's going to be I'll be like planning like, you know, my P's and Q's and never mind. It's fine. It'll work out.
No, so this person literally was posting online how excited they were for this event. So we're going.
Okay.
You're being reminded. I've double checked cool. the invite. That's definitely your picture.
Okay, cool. It's going to be a great time.
It will be a great time. We're gonna have...
Whoever invited me, you have a lovely home. Okay, cool. Well, in that case, so no shooting challenge for either of us.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mentioned this to another one of the guests yesterday, and he was like, just bring your laptop. And I was like, I can't do that. And then today I was like, but I can. Laptops are portable.
they're affordable. It's actually the selling point.
I think it would be kind of a dick move, though. You know, if the person throwing the party is listening to this episode, they can tell me, yes, that is okay, or no, that's a dick move, or they could not acknowledge this and watch me suffer and figure out on my own what to do.
I'm assuming whoever this is at. Is going to also have their own, like, they'll be, have, like, their laptop open, also playing, and we'll be like, oh, we should have brought
0%.
Zero percent. Man. Okay. Gosh. Okay. Anyways. Never mind. We'll move on from that. So, no showcase challenge, but, I mean, I am still excited to be playing the format. I'm having a lot of fun. I think Legacy is just in a good spot. Obviously, happy with no bans there. Has anything really stood out to you in the past, you know, 2 weeks or so in the Legacy format?
No. That's a very unexciting answer. I mean, Tony has still been working on his paradoxical outcome deck, and I know he posted today that he's 16-1 with it over his last few matches, and that stood out to me, I guess, because that's sick, and I will be trying that deck out. Or better yet, maybe, you know, I will just throw on some plots of his stream so I can watch somebody who knows what they're doing. But other than that, nothing. I mean, it's the same format we've had for a couple weeks now, I feel like, which, you know, is not me complaining. I want to be clear. I don't really feel like the format has changed a ton over the past few weeks, but it also doesn't feel stale. There's actually, like, enough variety in what you can do. I'm still enjoying playing Initiative. I think the deck is still really good. Locally, I've been playing 12 post, which should really be called 10 post. And I've been having a great time doing that. And while we were recording today, I got bad brainworms. It was like, what if I threw up the beanstalk in there? And then I could draw a card when I cast my Primeval Titan. Because, you know, casting Primeval Titan's not already good enough.
Yep. I need more. How do I make this more?
Cast Emrakul. Trigger up the beanstalk. That'll get him.
Get him. Oh, and then you can cast your Ulamog and then exile some stuff, and then they try to remove it with like a Swords to Plowshare, and you're like, no, not of this world, and draw another card.
Yeah.
Value.
Yeah, these are actions that I could take. And unfortunately, I have a feeling I might take them. Just the worst part.
You know, honestly, I think this is like actual serious comment. I think it would be very interesting to see like an Eldrazi shell that has up the beanstalk. So like you're like going hard on like Reality Smashers and
Endbringer,
yeah. And then you also just have the plan of just like, you know, Thought Not Seer on turn two and like getting people like that. But then playing green just for like up the beanstalk. I feel like there's another card you could play that would be
Ancient Stirrings.
Oh, yeah, Ancient Stirrings, yeah. Play Ancient Stirrings, and that would give you... Yeah, I actually like the sound of that. Yeah.
And you get to play Elvish Spirit Guide.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay, what's the deck?
So, for as much as, you know, we're kind of joking about, like, these Eldrazi things, I do actually think Post is in a good spot. I mean, if you just look at the showcase challenge... Or, sorry, not the showcase. If you look at the normal challenges... Man, I feel like I'm misspeaking a lot tonight.
It's one of those days. We both have long days today.
But anyways, true futurism has been, like, in the top eight of so many legacy challenges with posts lately. 10-15, 10-8, 10-7, 9-24, 9-17, 9-9, 9-2, 8-20. It's just, like, every week. Yeah. It's like, yep, top eighted, yep, top eighted. Oh, sorry. Three of those were actually not top eights, but, like, they're still top 32.
Top 32 finishes. And, yeah.
You know, four top eights over the past month is still certain.
Impressive.
You know, I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
He's making small tweaks here and there, but, like, the deck has felt really good in the little bit that I've played with it, too. For those who might not be up to date with the newest post-technology, they're playing Elvish Spirit Guide now, which it seems like, you know, one mana ramp and, like, the ramp deck shouldn't actually be that impressive. But the deck is a little bit short on green sources for a mono green deck. And so having those surprise crop rotations has been really nice. Being able to make it so I just, like, only play post lands and then can still cast Green Sun Zenith has been really good. And honestly, there's even been times where it's just, like, turn three and turn two, you have a Cloud Post that taps for two, a Glimmer Post that taps for one, and then a Spirit Guide, and you play the One Ring on turn two. Like, that's pretty good. It's very hard for decks to keep up with that kind of card draw. So that has felt really good. It's a very good One Ring deck because you're just looking for one of your powerful spells in the game, plus you gain a bunch of life with Glimmer Post. So those two additions to the deck have felt very, very good to me.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of an underappreciated thing. Obviously, gaining the bunch of life from the Glimmer Post and the Vesuvas and things like that, I think is huge. But also, like, if it really comes down to it, you can just cast your Ulamog and exile your One Ring, which I think is, once again, feels like a corner case, but I think it comes up a little bit more often than you would imagine. So it's a nice little out there.
Yeah, that one hasn't come up for me yet. It was something I considered, but I was like, I can also just kill my opponent instead.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounded
also decent. Yeah, it's just like, depending on the situation, there's definitely some situations or some times where you're getting beat down early enough, you kind of stabilize, but the One Ring's going to knock you out. So, yeah, if you got to do what you got to do. But, yeah, I think this deck is definitely in a good spot, really interesting, especially if we are trying to... The number of times, and I don't know... I actually don't know if this is true or not. I feel like my win rate on, like, Delver decks playing against this deck in particular is just so poor. Like, I think the... You know, even if I'm doing the, you know, grief reanimate nonsense, if I'm doing, you know, Delver, flip Delver, play DRC, all that fun stuff, like, I still just die to the One Ring, here's an uncounterable Primeval Titan, and you're dead.
So, I haven't really had the pleasure of playing against the Scam deck very much yet, and that's something I would really like to experience. I even thought about just messaging you and being like, play this matchup with me. But if that matchup is good, then I think the deck is good because a lot of people are doing really slow stuff right now. Up the Beanstalk, turns out, is also good in the format where you get free 5-drops. More free 5-drops in the form of Force Will and other things. And those are the kind of decks that Post preys upon. So if the format's going to be moving slow, Post can come in with its Primeval Titans and its Ulamogs and just kind of clean stuff up. So if it is okay against these Scam decks, which, you know, are a little bit slower than traditional Delver, I think that would be good. I think it would be a really good choice.
Yeah, and I think especially with the number of ways to actually win the game you have in this deck, like, I think obviously just drawing cards with the One Ring is pretty good. But, you know, being able to have Reclaimer just grind out advantage, you know, turning your lands into Cloud Posts, so you can actually cast that Primeval Titan or that Ulamog uncounterably, but also, you know, on a much earlier than you normally would, I think is really huge. The other thing I do like about this is I think once you cast that first, I think it's one of those decks where, like, even if it takes you a while to get to the point where you can cast, like, Embercool or something like that, once you cast it, I feel like the game just ends. The awkward thing, and I this happens obviously occasionally, but, like, I didn't really pick up on this. Depending on what they're playing in their build, they can Solitude away your Embercool, which is not ideal. Because you have protection from colored spells, but not protection from, you know, colored permanents. So, that is a potential concern, but I still think you have such a good plan in general that I think you'd be fine.
Yeah, the thing about that is when it happens, you're already winning.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And, like, that's also to mention, too, like, I think if you are aware they have Solitude, you can also just, like, hold up Caracas, and then they could waste two cards while you take a time walk and just cast it again. So, yeah. There are definitely other concerns for your opponent if you get to that point. And that's also, you have Bethesda in the main deck too, so, like, if Beanstalk really isn't an issue, you can just, like, you know, take them out.
Yeah. So, those are the decks that are sticking out to me. Is anything sticking out to you?
The one that I saw, actually got fifth place in the Saturday Challenge. It's, like, listed as Esper Control, but it just looks like a sweet deck. You've got, like, Orchestra Spellmaster, you've got Monastery Mentor, you're playing that with your Staff of the Storyteller, so you're just making a ton of tokens and drawing a bunch of cards. And Staff is, like, one of those cards that we haven't really seen lately, just because I feel like it got kind of outclassed by, just other cards in the format. So having this as a card advantage spell at two mana, I think is really interesting again. I just love Monastery Mentor, though. I just want to have a world where I can live with Monastery Mentor by my side, and we can go into battle with prowess. It'll be sweet. But it also just seems like it has a lot of interesting answers. I think always being in white is just always good. Obviously, a very clean answer to something like a Murktide Regent or a Orcish Spellmaster. They do have a couple copies of Spell Pierce, which, if we're talking about playing Beanstalk decks, having Spell Pierce seems like a pretty solid place to go. But I also really like the Voidrend as well. Obviously, kind of a weird answer. If for those who don't remember Voidrend, it is from Streets of New Capenna. It's a white, a blue, and a black. For an instant, the spell can't be countered and destroy target non-land permanent. So, once again, just another really clean answer to some problematic permanents in the format. Obviously, doesn't do anything against, like, the One Ring, but it is a really easy way to pick up or clean up something that would be otherwise annoying, whether that is a Up the Beanstalk or that's a Karn or something like that. Yeah, and once again, I'm not sure if this deck is, like, super amazing, but I always feel like being an Esper gives you such a good range of spells. Like, obviously Voidrend is a very generic answer, but having, like, the Day's Force of Will package, I think, is good. Actually having this deck where, like, Lorien Revealed makes sense early to help fix your mana, but also late to actually be able to cast and get a bunch of tokens off of Monastery Mentor, I think, is good. Sideboard, you get access to things like Energy Flux, you get things like Opposition Agent, Snuff Out, even. Like, you have just a lot of flexibility in what you're doing with your sideboard. And this is, like, not even mentioning, like, you know, if you really wanted to, you could very easily build this deck a little differently, where, like, maybe instead of something like the one Prismatic Ending or, like, one of the Lorien Reveals, you're playing, like, Teferi. I think that'd be interesting, too. Trying to make these situations where, like, a Monastery Mentor with a Teferi, where you can just, like, kind of, like, alpha your opponent and they can't really do much about it if they pass the turn, I think would be really nice.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Esper Colors. I don't know how I feel about this deck. I feel like it's been a while since I've cast a Monastery Mentor and felt particularly good about it. Which, you know, maybe is a personal feeling. Maybe I'm just not devoted enough. But I want to like this deck.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, it's definitely on my list of things. I'm like, by the way, so for people who don't know this already at this point, I've been able to play kind of sporadically, so I just have this folder of, like, downloaded decks, so I've downloaded so far today this deck, which, just because I think it is really cool, and I like Murktide, I like Bowmaster, I like Mentor, I don't think I've ever actually cast Voidrend, so I think that's another card I'm more than willing to try. But I really like Staff of the Storyteller when that was seeing play in Cephalid Breakfast. So I'm interested to try this part out. But also I downloaded Burn, too, so we'll see how that goes in the modern queues. But no, it's definitely it's an interesting deck. I think Monastery Mentor is a fun card. So yeah, hopefully we see it.
Okay, so I do have to get out of here soon, but so similar vein. Eternal Weekend is tomorrow. What are you playing?
I think I'm in blue black scam land. I think it's hard to imagine playing anything else. I know there are definitely some other things I need to try out. Maybe I'll try out this, 10 post deck. Maybe I'll try out Red White Initiative. I think the only one I'm actually not on the fence about, but Jujubeen did play a in the Saturday challenge with a top 8 finish playing Timber Delver, which is like playing the full four copies of Questing Druid, but also playing like one Seal of Removal in the main deck as well, which I think is super spicy. I like that from the Loris days, so. I have to try this deck out at some point, but I think otherwise, like, assuming nothing drastically changes my opinion, I think Blue Black Scam is, like, good to go already.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah. How about you?
I am still just playing Initiative. That being said, I'm probably packing a post as well in case, things don't work out. And I just want to, like, have some fun inside events. And that's not to say I don't have fun with Initiative. I certainly do. And I'm not somebody who generally tilts a bunch when they lose either. But I do find if I scrub out of an event, I usually don't want to run back the same deck. Even if I don't feel like it could be completely me. I could even be acknowledging, like, I played poorly, the deck was great, and I just don't want to run it back. Those are the two decks I'm going to bring. Okay. If it's tomorrow. Fair.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, speaking of Eternal Weekend, by the way, I am still waiting for the event schedule to come up, but if you are someone who is trying to plan your event, they do have the... It is at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. That's confirmed on the Card Titan website. They also do have two hotel blocks, one at the Courtyard Pittsburgh downtown and another one at the Hampton Inn and Suites downtown. So, definitely look into that early. I think we were talking about this before. I think the hotels are already kind of filling up for that week. All right. I know you got to go, but I do want your quick 20-second opinion on a couple things. One, what do you think about play boosters?
Don't care.
Cool. Good. What do you think about the Explore promo for RCQs?
All the promos are amazing.
Yes. If you haven't seen them, the Explorers are beautiful. I think they're just a really cool design, but the Expressive Iteration is like just breathtaking. I'm very happy with that. I'm very excited to try to get a play set of those for Modern. And the Valka the Molten Pinnacle, I think it's like perfect. I think it's really, really cool. So, yep, that's basically it. And I guess let's wrap up. Mattson, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Expedition Map. You can find me on Blue Sky. Same thing, Expedition Map. What is it? .bluesky.social. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Bad Luck Bandit on Twitter. If you're interested in finding the show, we are at depth_podcast. on Twitter as well. And also, you can obviously check out our bonfire store. Once again, there'll be a link in the show notes. Check it out. Buy some stuff. Support us. It'll be really cool. And I guess I'll see you this weekend at a party. But I guess after that, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Gavin Maya taps with green, the scene sees reclaim. Untap sack of flagstones, go seek the planes. Then tutor up the stage to pull out your playbill. Darkness podcast starring Billy Mitchell and Michael Mapson on the microphone. Dripping in Mox Diamonds, the collector of curtains up on act one of this magic show. Set in a forest so dense it looks decomposed. With red luck every night's crush against death shadow. On the legendary lake covered in ice and snow. Underneath the surface lurks a lonely evil. An avatar so dark it could cause upheaval. The night lunges forward, going for the kill. But death shadow's too tricky, it just won't sit still. It's stubborn denials compile a stack so thick. The bazooka bug emerges with Gurmag's angling. The night takes a swing at the zombie fishes, but falls submerged for such a distance. Forsaken in the haze of the street wraith's fringes, who wanna stuff her out, they don't seek forgiveness. Her final breath draws a deafening silence, a sound so sinister no one could describe it. It's like the subtle cracking of a turtle shell, or the surgical extraction of emerging hell. The shards of ice feel a force of vigor, the looming fear releases growing bigger and bigger, until a demon's fingers linger toward the shadow of death. An all-consuming hush, the land goes swept. The night washes up, frozen on the ice. Dread arbors thaw her out in the green sun's light. An expedition map suddenly unfurls, revealing Merit Lage has rearranged the world.